We're going to talk a little bit about Hajj. As you know, Hajj is the fifth ordained, the fifth pillar of Islam. And one must do it if he, and do Hajj if he has the wealth to do it, the money to do it, and if a woman has a mahram to take her. A male man, like her uncle, father, brother, husband, to take her, then they must go. A lot of people think that if I have the money, I have 100,000, and Hajj just came up this year, I can wait until next year to make Hajj. No. You commit a sin by doing that. You gotta do it. Hajj for you is ordained the year you're able to do it. I'm healthy this year. I didn't make Hajj. I got some money in my account or saved away that I don't need, that I can make Hajj with it. That year I must make Hajj. I can say, oh, you know what? Next year the weather will probably be better in the Hajj. Or I'll wait 10 more years till Hajj is in summer. Or when Hajj is in summer, I'll wait 10 years until it's in winter. Because Hajj goes around. Now Hajj is in nice weather. The weather now is very nice. You go wait about 5-7 more years from now, it's going to be in the middle of summer. And that's when you see a lot of death over there. So someone will say, I'll wait till summer because I like summer better. Someone will say, no, I like winter better. No, you got to do it that same year. Or I don't feel like doing it this year. You have to do it that same year. Are you a kafir or not? Of course you're not a kafir, but you've caused yourself doing sin by doing that. There's three types of Hajj. Ifrad, tamattu, muqrid. This is good for people who don't go to Hajj. Because a lot of people are thinking, what are the people in Hajj doing these days? You know, we're sitting here and everyone's going, mashallah, from our class, a number that I was really, from our classes, a large number who I really didn't expect are going. So what are they doing when they're in Hajj? And by the way, another issue that a lot of people raise, if someone is in debt, if I'm in debt, I got tuition on me, $5,000. And I got $5,000 in my account. And Hajj is $3,000. Can I go to Hajj or no? Yes?
If you have permission from the loaner, I guess. Or if you're paying the amount. According to, there's no riba. The permission is given by the
loaner. What if there is riba? You can't go?
No, I mean, I'm saying it's a lot of honor, but I'm saying there's two different people, two different things I've heard.
The answer to that is if it's a long-term debt, you took from me $5,000 for tuition $5,000 and you're paying $20 a month, that's all you owe, of course you can. Because the debt is not owed altogether. You could die with debt with you. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had some, you know, he had his shield, he had his shield given to a Jewish man because he had taken money he had borrowed from him. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died in debt. You could die in debt, but the thing about it is, if that debt is owed on the spot, you either pay him the $5,000 you owe him. You owe him in January 31st, 2003, $5,000, or you go to Hajj with it. You go and pay that man his money. But you're paying $20 a month, or it's not due to 5 more years, then you have leeway in going to Hajj, and you could go to Hajj. We have three kinds of Hajj. Ifrad is Hajj alone. You go to Hajj alone. Tamattu is when you go with Hajj and Umrah. A lot of scholars, by the way, believe even Umrah is ordained. Whether it's dispute or not, we'll talk about that in our fiqh classes. But a lot of scholars, and it's a strong opinion, that Umrah is ordained just like Hajj is ordained one time in your life. Muqrin is combining the two, the Hajj and Umrah, together. Tamattu is having Hajj and Umrah, but separating them. You do a Umrah, then you do a Hajj. Muqrin, you do a combo. It's a combo of a Hajj and a Umrah together. Okay. Actually, I don't want to talk about Muqrin or Ifrad, because 99.99% of the people will do Tamattu, and that's what you should do. That's the best one of the three. The differences among them is very minor. Very, very minor. But we should do tamattu, because tamattu, you're doing a complete, you're not going there. Most of us are going there once in a lifetime. We're living in America. We're living a continent away from there. You know, you do your own umrah by itself, and then you do the hajj by itself. How do you start your hajj? When you leave here, you're going to go on the airplane. You're either going to go to one of two areas. You're either going to go directly to Mecca. Of course, your airplane is going to land in Jeddah. Or, where are you guys going?
Medina.
From Medina first? Okay. You either go to Mecca, or you go to Medina. If you go to Medina, it's probably a bit easier for you. Why? Because there's certain areas around Mecca. Mecca's over here. That's Mecca. Those lines around Mecca are areas where you cannot, you should not pass those without putting your haram on. What's the haram on? When you go from here, you go as a regular traveler. When you enter there, you put the haram on, meaning the clothing of the hajj, the intention of the hajj. The longest one, the longest distance between these, most of them are probably 100 kilometers or less from Mecca. The longest one is the one in Medina. As soon as you leave the border of Medina, there's a masjid there where you do your, are you coming from Medina in a car or airplane?
From Medina, or are you going to probably take a car?
A car. Okay. You're going to go there, a huge masjid. A huge masjid. They got nice clean showers and everything in there. Really, one of the cleanest masjids I've ever been to, I think, in my life. One of the biggest ones. It's a huge masjid with showers, with everything in there. When you get there, you gotta make your haram. Let's assume you're not going through Medina. You're going to the airplane. You're going from United States to Mecca directly. Right before you get to Mecca, the airplane. You know, you don't get binoculars and start watching where's the miqat at. You're not going to find that. The airplane pilot will announce it. The miqat is right under us. That means you gotta put your haram on. You can't wear this kind of clothing. Clothing that are stitched or sewed upon your body. You can't wear it. You gotta wear a ridah and a izar. A ridah is like a long towel. Izar is something you wrap around your down body. No socks, of course. No underwear. No nothing with clothing. Nothing with clothing that are stitched like normal clothing is. All that must be done. You wear your izar, your ridah. And when you get to that, I say by airplane, they'll announce it. You're right under. It's right under you. A lot of people are going by airplane. So the pilot will, any airline you go, he'll announce it. We're right near the miqat. Everyone usually go and change, or he'll announce it sometimes half an hour before so everyone can get ready. And he says, right now we're on top of it. What you do is you say, now it's my intention to make hajj or to make umrah. If you're going to tamattu, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Umrah.
You're doing umrah. First, you're doing Umrah. So as soon as you get to the Miqat, you say, oh Allah, my intention is to make Umrah. Oh Allah, my intention is to make Umrah. This is the only time, this is the only time you ever say the intention out loud. Ever. When you pray, we don't say, nawaitu an usalli. I don't, my knee is to pray. That's the innovation. When you do anything other than hajj, you don't verbally say the intention. The only time you say it is in hajj. Why are we strict like that? Because this is ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ only did it in hajj, we only do it in hajj. He never did it in prayer, we don't do it in prayer. So in hajj, you say, we say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا. Or, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَة. You all are going to start in tamattu' with a umrah. So لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَة. Are you going to make the hajj for yourself or for someone else? You can make someone for your grandfather, your father who passed away. You can make it, but there's one restriction. What is it?
You have to do it first.
You have to do it on yourself first. I can make some hajj on my father or grandfather or some relative who passed away. I can do that. However, I must make it on myself. So I say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا عَنْ نَفْسِي لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرًا عَنْ نَفْسِي. Had it been for someone else, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا عَنْ عُمَرْ لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ حَجًّا عَنْ مُحَمَّدْ عَنْ صَالِحْ. Or whoever it may be. You pronounce the intention. There's no two rak'ahs. You pray at the miqat. When you get to the miqat, 99% of the people pray two rak'ahs. There's no two rak'ahs for ihram. There's absolutely no two rak'ahs for ihram. Most of the people will pray two rak'ahs. The best way to do it is to wait for a prayer. Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Pray, and then right after the prayer, you leave. There's no two rak'ah. A lot of people call there two rak'ah for sunnah ihram. That's an innovation. What you do in ihram, you put the upper clothing and the wrapping around you, and after you pure, of course, better to take a shower. The Prophet ﷺ took a shower in that area. Is to take a shower. Could you put cologne or no? Could you put cologne or no?
No.
Could you put cologne or no?
No.
all of you guys are alone. No, it's no difference of opinion. The Prophet Aisha radiallahu anha said, I put cologne on the Prophet, in fact, to the point that it was on his ihram clothing. When you start, after you start, after ihram, no more cologne, no more, you know, try your best to stay away from the soap that has, you know, the perfume, you know, the regular soaps that we have. You're going to find over there a lot of the soap that doesn't have this, you know, this alcohol and perfume that we have. But initially, when you put the ihram on, there's no problem with you putting cologne or perfume, or, of course, no woman put perfume, because that's the danger there. We're talking about men only. There's no problem in doing that.
Clarify that, that you said that you could put?
Yes. Before ihram. Before your intention. After intention, you cannot put any of that.
And deodorant as well.
That's part of it. I said even soap. Even soap that contains the smell that we have, you can't do that.
How about people, there going to be people who need to put sunscreen, and there's like...
What's that?
Sunscreen, so you don't burn your sunblock.
Hey, don't do that. That will invalidate. Don't do that. We're not going to a beach or something. No, you're not allowed
even
to.
Even before the ihram?
Before, yes.
And
yes, before.
The ihram is still going to be there.
It's right? Okay. If it comes on the ihram before, it's no problem. The only problem is after that, you know, during the Hajj, because you're going to stay in this closet for several days. You're going to stay in this closet for several days. What is a woman? We know what a man does. What does a woman wear?
Regular clothing underneath, like something modest, and then she has her...
Any clothing?
No, I mean...
What color?
Well, it doesn't matter the color.
Right?
It doesn't matter.
Any color, anything she wants to wear, as long as she's appropriately covered. If she's appropriately covered, there's no restriction. Some people say you have to wear, like the people from Malaysia, you're going to find thousands of them just wearing white, plain white, you know? Or some of them, they say black. Anything she wears, as long as she's decently covered, because if you're going to go there, men are going to see women a lot, women are going to see men a lot, so she has to be very well covered. You know, Aisha radiallahu anha said, to the point when the men used to pass by, or even the sawaqi, the one who used to bring them the water, they used to cover on their faces. Wait, give us some time, because we want to, let's get section by section. After you make the niyyah, you get to the miqat, you put your clothing on, you make the niyyah, then after you make the niyyah, you put a restriction upon Allah. Oh Allah, if something happens to me, then free me on that spot where something that happened to me. What is it in Arabic? It's Allahumma mahilli. I'm going to write these, and after I'm done, if anyone needs help with them, I'll help them. Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani. Allahumma mahiyya haythu habastani. When you make hajj, if you don't say that, you gotta sacrifice and make hajj another time no matter what. Let's assume it's your second hajj. It's your fifth umrah. And you're on your way there, and we used to see this a lot. When I used to go make umrah, especially when I was there at a younger age, it was one line going to Mecca and one line coming. It was called the death road. Death road, you know, bumper to bumper cars with always a lot of accidents. If you get an accident there, you have to sacrifice, and you must become a part to compensate for that umrah. Unless you say that. That is, oh Allah, free me. If something happens to me, free me on the spot. Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani. After that, you start saying, labbaik Allahumma latif. What is it?
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I don't know.
And you're going tomorrow, Latif.
I'm nervous now, and you put me on the spot.
Come on, Latif.
I know
it. Qaisar, help him out.
It's Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Lak, Labbaik Inna Alhamda Wa Ni'mata Lak Wal Mulk La Sharika Lak.
That's good. Stick to that one. Some people add or take away stuff from it. Don't do that. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Lak, Labbaik Inna Alhamda Wa Ni'mata Lak Wal Mulk La Sharika Lak. You continue saying that all the way from wherever you're at until you hit Mecca. The more you say it, the better. The more you say it, the better. Don't try to stop, you know, as much as you can say it. The men, in loud voices, not in groupings, everyone alone. You're in a group of 20, everyone alone. The women, in a low tone. Their voice shouldn't be loud. The men, in a loud voice. Yes. Yes.
In regards to you just mentioned about the talbiyah of Allah. You do it after you put your haram on, you start doing it from that point, right?
After you do your ihram, yes. Yes.
And you don't stop until you get to...
You don't stop till you get to Makkah. Unless, you don't want to take breaks, especially if you're going by car, it's going to take you 4 hours. 4 hours, so you're going to take breaks, of course, Take it easy on yourself.
Can you repeat that?
Okay, I'll do that after class. All of them are right there, and I'll do it after class, okay? I'll stay and do them after class. You wear your ihram. How you wear your ihram? Most people are going to... Sisters, if you have questions, I'm sorry, ask if any of you are confused. Go ahead and ask. Any sisters have questions? We don't give you your opportunity. Okay. You wear your ihram like a regular towel on your shoulders. When you get to Mecca, you change it. You do what is called a tabi'. A tabi' means you take it and you free your right shoulder. Your right shoulder, you take the towel and you wrap it around from your right shoulder, back around, By freeing on top of your right shoulder, there's nothing. A lot of people start their ihram with that weight. It's very easy and actually it's very comfortable. Makes your back feel good and then pulls your back a little bit. A lot of people do that. The sunnah to do that is to only do that when you see the Kaaba. As soon as you see the Kaaba, you take it and free your right shoulder. Look how precise the sunnah is. Look how precise the sahaba. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, I did a hajj. Like the Prophet ﷺ did it. Every single thing, even urinated where the Prophet urinated, even smiled where the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And he said, the only one thing I couldn't do is during the Prophet ﷺ time, he went around the Kaaba with his camel because the flooring wasn't finished. He said, when I went there, the camels weren't allowed entry by the area where they were there. That's the only thing he couldn't do like the Prophet ﷺ.
What do you mean by free your right shoulders? Take it, only wrap it on one side, right?
You take it. You wrap it around one side, you take it from under here, and you wrap it around back here, and it'll come back, comfortably. I'm sorry, the right one is the free one. So you wrap it around, it's only covering this side. I don't have it with me to show you, but it's very easy. You're going to see all the hajjaj doing it. Had I had a clothing or something, I would have showed you. But free your right shoulder, nothing on your right shoulder. It's going to come, the towel is going to be like this. It's going to be like this, wrapped around your left shoulder. The next thing, you enter, you're going to enter the Kaaba. And there's a dua to say, oh Allah, honor, add more honor to this Kaaba. اللهم زد هذا البيت تعظيما وتشريفا. Allah give this, because it's one of the best scenes you're ever going to see in your life. If you have a first kid and you thought that was the best excitement of your life, it's nothing compared to when you first see the Kaaba. It's the best thing. I remember when I was there, I was 7 years old, and we were going to Medina first. And I thought Medina was Mecca. I didn't know what Medina was and what Mecca was. We landed in Medina. I said, where's the black thing at? Where's the black thing? I'm telling my father, where's the black thing at? And I couldn't find the black thing. He said, there's the Prophet's grave. I said, okay, but where's the black thing? I want to see. And then he took us back to Mecca. And then it was one of the best scenes. I can't forget it. 7 years old and I cannot forget, that scene. One of the best scenes you will see in your life. You go to the Kaaba. I'm going to draw you a diagram of the Kaaba. Okay, here's the Kaaba, four corners. This is the black stone. Why is it called black stone? Why is it black stone? Why isn't it the white stone? But why is it?
The sins of the people.
Sins, hadith, authentic hadith. That's the first thing we took, remember, Sa'id, in the first class, first seerah class we had. It was white, it turned black because of the sins of the people. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, in my time, I seen a little tiny white dot on it. And now, by the time he died, he said it was covered up. Now, I bet it's pure black. Black and black. A lot of sins because this is the black stone. We start, if you go there, if you go enter there, you're going to find the black stone. And on the ground where you walk, you're going to find a line, a brown line. That line means that you're on the right, like you're exactly to the corner of the black Kaaba. That line is insignificant, you know. It's insignificant, I don't know why they did it. It's an innovation to put it. Islam doesn't want you, you know, oh, am I on the right, and go get a compass and see, am I on the right exact thing? No, if you're, you know, you see it, you're far away, you see it, that's more than enough. You have to do one of three things. You, when you go there, you start your first tawaf. You got to start your first tawaf from the black stone. Don't go back here and start from here. Tell me, wallah, you know, I want to make sure it's right. No, no, don't do that. That's innovation. That's not right. You go here where you see it's right, where you think it's the beginning. You know, and sometimes when you go enter there, you're going to find the masses going this way, going around this way. Don't go and come around this way, one way, and try to kill yourself, you know? That'll be pretty stupid. Some people do that. I want to do that. Go, okay, take it easy, walk around one side, go with the flow of the traffic, and then stop over here, but that doesn't count. The first one doesn't count for you, and start from right here. If you start over here, it doesn't count. You start from right here where the black stone is. When you see the black stone, you go and kiss it, the first thing. You could do that. It's going to be very crowded. Don't kill yourself. It's easy. So you go, if it's not that crowded, you touch it, and you kiss your hand. That's the second thing. If that first and second is impossible, you just say Allahu Akbar, and you point to it. You have to do that every time you go around the Kaaba. So when you're near it, and you're at that angle, you say Allahu Akbar, and the most you should do, I think, because it's going to be very crowded. Hajj is not like Umrah, where there's less people. Yes.
You can do that anytime, right? You can even come back when it's less crowded, like at night.
You could kiss it with any time, yes. But this you must do. You must do for the tawaf. You say, first thing you do is kiss it. Second thing, if you can't do that, touch it and kiss your hand. Third thing is you just wave to it by hand gesture.
Every time you make tawaf once, you have to do that every
time. Every single one. And you say, Allahu Akbar.
Seventh time, right?
You know some people... That's why I told you this line is not right. They sit and stop. And they're looking on the floor. When they get to that line, they stop. It's Allahu Akbar, and they start. No, you don't have to. The hadith doesn't tell you have to be exact like that. You know, and a lot of scholars wrote refutation on why they drew this line. You know, Islam doesn't want you to be, oh, I want to stand right on that angle and do that. You don't have to do that. Okay. You go, this is where you start. You walk around. Don't, there's guys there, you pay them, and they start making dua for you, and you start repeating after them. They call them mutawwif over there. Those guys are bums. You don't need those guys over there. You make your own dua. What if you want a child? What if you want a beautiful wife? Or the wife wants a handsome husband, or a religious husband, and the guy's saying something else. You're wasting your hajj, and he's making the dua for you. You make your own dua. Any dua you want to do, you do it. Between here and here, what's this rukun called? Ar-rukn al-yamani. This is called Ar-rukn al-yamani. These are the only two corners where you touch. This one you kiss, this one you touch. This one you even touch what's under the black stone. Both of it. Black stone is holy, and under the black stone, you touch it, and you know, the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss it. This one, only Prophet ﷺ only touched it. You know, just is like that. Just wipe it with your hand. That's all. Does it have barakah in it? No. We do, and we say like Umar bin Khattab said, when he kissed the black stone, he said, Wallahi, I know you're a stone that doesn't help me or harm me. And had it not been for me seeing the Prophet ﷺ do this, I would not have done this. Between these two corners, you say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Kaisa, are you with us?
Yeah, I memorized these things.
He's going with you guys, yeah. You know that? Only one I want you guys to watch over is Latif. Make sure he doesn't. And watch over Kaisa too. Some of the questions he asked me were, I don't know about them.
I have a question in regards to Islam.
Yes.
People, you know, they cover their head like, you know, they're like afraid of the sun or something. So it's not permissible to cover your head. You cannot
put the part of the... You cannot put nothing on your head. You cannot cover your head.
Do you have an umbrella?
Yes, you can have an umbrella. Something that's not attached. And yes, you can have a face mask. something that covers your head, like a car, something like that, that's not part of you, on you, that's no problem. You know, the Shia believe that you can, that's why their buses, they cut them, they cut the top of them. Because they believe even if you're in a car, which has a covering on it, your hajj is invalid. That's why you're going to see a whole bunch of buses there that are convertible. Convertible 60s buses. But that's being radical. That's being extreme. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, all of them, as long as it's not part of your clothing, then you don't have to worry about that. Okay, now we know what you do over here. The first three times you walk around the Kaaba, you do what's called Ar-Ramil. Ar-Ramil is to run it, however, jog it with close footsteps. Jogging, close footsteps next to each other, and running three times around the Kaaba. That's only four men. Only four men. They do that three times. The rest four, you walk it normally. Now don't be going and say, I want to do the sunnah and kill people. Just do it if there's room in front of you. If there's no room in front of you, then, or you're going to harm someone, then it's okay not to do it. But it's better not to do it. Why? Because you're going to be harming other Muslims. The next point, you got the ramen, Latif? Especially you guys, you're young. You got it, Latif?
It's the first three rounds.
The first three rounds around the Kaaba, you do ramil. Ramil is to have close footsteps next to each other, but jogging it. Jogging it. The next point, you have to have wudu. In tawaf, you have to have wudu. The Prophet ﷺ said, tawaf is like salah. The only difference is you're allowed to talk. Don't be holding conversations in your tawaf, because that's precious moments. Very precious moments where you should be making dua. Yes.
The hidden message from the Kaaba is tawaf, right?
Yes. Yes. That's why I didn't say when you walk in the masjid, you pray two rak'ah. Head to the Kaaba. Actually, you won't be able to hold yourself. You want to go right next to the Kaaba and do tawaf. Yes.
The entry to the gate, is it only one gate open, the Salam gate, or you...
Oh, go from any gate you can. Any gate you want to. No. Okay, after you're done with seven, you pray behind Maqam Ibrahim. Actually, it's right here. Maqam Ibrahim. What is Maqam Ibrahim, guys?
Station of Ibrahim.
What is it? Footprints from what? Yes. When Ibrahim used to build the Kaaba and put stone by stone and his son was helping him, he'd go on a corner and take an angle to look, you know, like engineers do. Is the building straight? And where he used to stand, Allah marked his footsteps, and that's what we call Maqam Ibrahim today. Today it's in a gold cage. It's in a gold cage. If you look inside that cage, you see the footsteps of Ibrahim. After you're done with seven times, you go behind the cage, this golden cage, and you pray two rak'ahs. In the first rak'ah, you read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In the second rak'ah, you read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Do you have to read these two? No. You read anything you want. This is the sunnah. This is the barakah. If you don't memorize them, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Now,
we look, you know, like from an engineering perspective, the Maqam Ibrahim should be pretty close to the Kaaba. But if we look, like, practically, it's pretty far.
It was moved. It was moved, and I can't recall now who moved it. But it was moved, and I think we went over in our history class, in our Sira class. You're right. You're right. And it was moved. But by the way, whose idea was it to pray behind Maqam Ibrahim? The sunnah that you all do, whose idea was it? Guys.
Isn't it among the Khulafa Rashidin?
Who is it? Yeah, who suggested it? Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar is the one who said hijab. This hijab that we have. Look at all this honor set up for Umar ibn Khattab. He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, a lot of people come in and see your woman not appropriately dressed. Why don't you ask them to do hijab? Allah said the order of hijab in the Quran. The second one is Maqam Ibrahim. Why don't we order them to pray from behind Maqam Ibrahim? Then Allah said, وَاتَّحِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ مُسَلَّى, among many other things that the Quran came to aid Umar ibn Khattab. You pray these two rak'ahs, you're done in this area, you had and drink zamzam. You guys want to do the sunnahs right. We don't want to leave nothing out. This is a one in a lifetime thing. You go and drink zamzam. And zamzam right now, if you live in this area, It's an underground. I'm pretty sure you all see it. You go and drink Zamzam until you can no longer drink, until it's about to come out of your mouth. You know, you drink and fill your mouth. The Prophet ﷺ كان يتضلع. يتضلع means until you feel it coming out of your neck, and you ask Allah anything you want, health. If it's something you want in this life, ask Allah and drink. And during the process, and this is one of the few times that the Prophet ﷺ drinks standing. You know, we have a command where the Prophet ﷺ says, drink sitting. And it's better to drink sitting. You should drink sitting. But in this point, because the situation probably was where he had to drink standing by the well, he drank standing. You could drink standing there because they have a lot of fountains where you stand. You know, when I was 7 years old, I drank Zamzam. And my niyyah was to drink Zamzam and memorize the Quran. And I was not Arabic back then. You know, my first language was English, although now it's different. But back then, it was English was my first language. And alhamdulillah, that became true. You know, not to me only, to my sisters as well. Same thing. We used to drink. My father said, you know, you have to memorize the Quran. We had a hard time doing it. And, you know, pressure and all that. And our purpose is, you know, you drink Zamzam and ask Allah to memorize the Quran. Alhamdulillah, that happened. There was a woman who went there and she had breast cancer. Algerian woman. I mentioned that in a khutbah one time. She had breast cancer and she went to Mecca and they told her you got a few months to die. She went Umrah. And she took the Zamzam and drank. And all she did was drink Zamzam and wash her body and her chest area with it. She went back to where she came from. They said, you got no traces of cancer in you. Yeah, it's a cure. If you have faith in Allah and you make dua, it's a cure and Allah will give you anything. So that's what you do in Zamzam. After Zamzam, you head to As-Safa and Al-Marwa. As-Safa and Al-Marwa, what is it? What's the historic significance? Up and down the mountains. Okay. Here's Safa. Safa is the one you're closest to the Kaaba. Safa is the one closest to the Kaaba. Marwa is the one over here. Marwa is the one up there. You walk up and down the Safa, every one of them, walking up and down, one, going one way is one. Going down this way is two. Some people think that going up and down is one. You're going to kill yourself if you do that, trust me. Because it's 14 long walking distances. So you go this way is one. Go back, three, two, three, four, five, six. Seven. You're going to end over here. You're going to end over there. So that's the Safa and Marwa. How you start? You go on the mountain of Safa. You go and climb near an upper area where there's a lot of room over there. And you start saying in the verse in the Quran, Inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'air Allah. That's in Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of the first juz. For those who are going to Hajj, I have to, I think, write this stuff for them out. إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. What you say is إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. فمن حج البيت واعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما. ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم. That is the verse about the Safa and the Marwa. Then you say الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز عبده وحده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. Those who are going to Hajj, I have to write this out for them because I don't ask them or think they'll memorize it. You say that the verse in Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Every single time you get here, you say it. You go over here, you say it. You come back here, you say it. So you're going to end up saying it a total of 7 times. What you say during that, you keep doing dua. You keep doing dua, yes.
So you said it, you always say it at Marwa.
No. I said you say it every single... At Safa, once. At Marwa, the number two. Safa, number three. Marwa, number four.
14 times.
7 times, you're going to say it. We don't do it 14 times.
Oh, okay.
We do it 7 times.
What else do you say? Allah
too long for you, maybe after the class I'll write it. All these, I'm going to, inshallah, write them down.
You
say this on the hilltop. Before, there's two hilltops. There's two hilltops. You say it on each hilltop. Every time you get to those hilltops, you say it. Or, if you do it in the second level, you could do it in the second level of the haram. There's a round area where, as soon as you get to that round area, you know that's where you say it. That's like the hilltop of the downstairs.
So you could be making a U-turn and be saying the same
thing. Yes, yes. The U-turn is right on top of the mountain under you. Do you have to be pure when you make tawaf?
No.
No, you don't. When you make, when, yes. Around the Kaaba, you have to be pure. You have to be on wudu. Yes.
About the Safa and Marwa, the two poles they have, you walk past between them.
I'm going to get to that. There's two green areas, two green lines right here. Between those two green lines, if you're a man, you run them. You sprint them. Unless you're going to harm other people, sprint them. Literally sprint them. The sunnah is to sprint them and go as fast as you can between the two green lines, not the whole thing. Some people run the whole thing. Don't be doing that, you know? When you come back to the States, you go jogging, inshallah. But over here, you run from here to here. There's two green markings. You sprint it as fast as you can. That's when Hajar, alayhi salam, ran and sprinted. After you're done with the seven, and if there's anyone with an elder, you know, if there's an elder, there's in the middle over here, there's people who will take it, you know, in a cart. They pull them in the elders in a cart or a wheelchair, and they'll push them for them. Around the Kaaba, they'll carry them. Even if you're healthy and you want to be carried, it's no problem, you know. So elder people shouldn't feel ashamed, you know. Because the Prophet ﷺ rode on a camel around the Kaaba. Now, I don't want you doing that. Your guys are healthy. Latif would probably do it for the view. It's a nice view to be on top of everyone and looking down at. Okay. After you're done with that, your tamattu, you're done with your umrah. That's umrah. This, what we did so far, is umrah. Very simple.
So you end up on Marwa at the end of your umrah.
Yes. You end up there.
Marwa.
Now what you have to do, one of two things. You either shave your hair up completely, or you trim it. You're going to find people here who ask you. Actually, right when you walk out of this door, there's a door from out of the Mecca here. There's a whole bunch of barbershops right there. So they will either shave your hair, or they will trim it. When you trim it, it can't be the trimming. They take, some of them got two little scissors, they take a little tiny piece of your hair and a little piece of hair, and they call that trimming. That's not trimming. Trimming means, like his, your hair right now, is that trimming. My hair, in order for trimming to be, it's got to be like his hair. Is it best, Qaisa, like that or shorter? Meaning a tiny bit is left. It got to take from all portions of the hair. All portion of the hair. You can't take a portion. Some of them are, you know, they're not ignorant. They'll cut over here and they say, oh, we did tafsir. And they'll shave it bald hair. They say, okay, when we do the hajj, we'll finish it off, the whole thing. That's haram. The Prophet ﷺ deterred from doing that. It's haram to shave a portion of your hair. That's called qaza. To shave portion of your hair and leave portion of your hair. To shave a portion and leave a portion is haram. So you either trim or you shave. Is it better to trim or shave?
Shave.
No. And this one is to trim. Because you got to have something left for the hajj. You're up a few more days, and you're going to be doing hajj, and you got to shave your head. So you need something, you know, something on your hair. Don't be taking some of your beard, you know. Yes, Sa'i.
You have to have wudu when you...
Sa'i? No. When you do Sa'i, you don't have to have wudu.
It's called Sa'i.
It's called Sa'i.
The cutting is called Sa'i.
No, the cutting is called halq or taqsir.
Yeah.
What if it's a woman? Does she shave?
Fingertip, they wrap it and they cut it
right. A tiny bit, like an inch or a little bit less from every, like she's braided. If she's braided, she has two braids or three braids. From every braid, take a little bit, like an inch or so, or less than that, you know. A tiny bit from each one. Yes.
Do you have clippers on there, or they use a razor, or what?
Well, they use razor. That razor is halq. The clipper is taqsir. Yeah, they use that. They have everything there. They have everything there. Don't worry about it. Don't take no knives out with you on the airport, airplane, okay? We don't want no nice. They got everything there. You'll find
the
old.
It's better to trim the hair at the end of the Umrah and then save the shaving for Hajj.
Yes, that's the best. Okay, now you guys do this. That's if someone is coming from Mecca, you know, from Medina right now. You wait till the 8th day of the Hijjah. All this has got to be done before the 8th day. I don't know what day it's going to be, but it's going to be done. Your group are going to take you there before the 8th day. On the 8th day of the Hijjah, the 8th day, this could be done anytime. Could be. Some people I know went yesterday, some the day before, they could have done this. Khalas. Now what they do is enjoy themselves in Mecca, put their clothing back on, sit in their hotel, pray in the haram. Whatever they want to do, it's fine. They got free time. So if you went earlier, you got a lot of time for you. You wait until the 8th day of the Hijjah. The 8th day of the Hijjah, that's when you go out of your house. You're in Mecca. You go out of your house and you say, Nawaitu al-Hajjah al-Nafsi. The first one is, Nawaitu al-Umrah. Now on the 8th day, you got to start with your Hajj. You do your Hajj. Nawaitu al-Hajjah al-Nafsi. Wherever you are in Mecca. Like someone, Qais was telling me, he's going to be in Aziziyah in Mecca. And that's actually where I was in Mecca. That's you're going to be in Aziziyah. That's 2 feet away from Mina. That's where actually the house of Sheikh Ibn Baz rahmatullah alayhi was. That's the same area. It's a small area right before Mina. So you start over there, you say, Nawait al-Hajj al-Nafsi, and you head to Mina. What's Mina?
So as soon as you leave your house or your apartment?
Anywhere. You say, Nawait from wherever you are. The first one, where do you have to say it before? Before Miqat.
Before you enter into...
the zone.
Yeah.
The zone. Okay. The zone of Mecca. Okay. So the eighth day, you make niyyah, Nawait al-Hajj al-Nafsi. And you go after sunrise, as soon as after you pray Fajr, and the sun starts rising, you head toward Mina. That's the sunnah. You could wait a little bit and, you know, do it. But the sunnah is right after sunrise, you head towards Mina. Mina is a huge area. Let me draw Mecca's here. Aziziyah, where most of you are going to be. Mecca, Aziziyah, Muna, Muzdalifa, Arafat. So you probably be in this area. You walk to Mina. Mina is going to be a whole bunch of tents. Your group are going to provide you with tents. So don't worry about it. You know, you have some shelter there. You stay in Mecca, in Mina, the whole day, the whole 8th day. You pray the Zuhr, you pray the Asr, you pray the Maghrib, you pray the Isha. Every single prayer, on its time, you don't do Jum'ah. But you pray a half. The Zuhr, you pray 2 rak'ah. The Asr, 2 rak'ah. The Maghrib, 3 rak'ah. The Isha, 2 rak'ah. But you don't do like regular. Yes, yes, sister. We don't know yet. We don't know yet because we have to wait for them to declare it in the Arabian Peninsula. Today, if I'm not mistaken, is the 28th of Dhul-Qa'dah. Of Dhul-Qa'dah, right? Okay, 28th of Dhul-Qa'dah. So it could be, it's not going to be tomorrow, the day after, or the day after that. You got to wait and... maybe inshallah on our site. If you're not on our site, join our mailing list, and I'll, as soon as they announce it in Saudia, we'll announce it on our site.
And also, do you have to fast the whole night, day, day, full prayer?
That's the best thing to do, is to fast the whole thing. To fast the whole thing is the best thing. However, the main day to fast is the day of Arafah, which is the 9th day. The Prophet ﷺ said if you fast that day, it'll be an eraser of sins for a year before and an eraser of sins for a year after. However, all the 9 days are special days that we should take advantage of, fasting, worshiping, praying, reading Quran and dhikr.
And also, if you have any other days that you're supposed to make, like, can you make
two niyas,
or you just have to do the ones that you're supposed to do first, and then...
Like what? Like
days that you promise Allah you're going to
fast. No, you should have a promise.
Makeup days.
Days that you're... You got something, you said,
okay. It depends on what it is. I mean, if it's if you gave a commitment to Allah for something and you chose these days to do it, you probably get more ajr. That's no problem with that. But no, actually it's only one niyyah for the purpose you made it for, like the commitment you made it for, and you get more ajr for doing it in this time. But it's better for you if you want full ajr to do it completely separate. That one totally separate and this one separate. There's no two niyyah for one thing. Anyone? Any more? Okay. It's too late. Let us get going with
the question.
Yes.
So the specific reward is for just the ninth day or for fasting?
The specific day of 1 year before and 1 year after forgiveness is only for the ninth day. But the Prophet ﷺ put a lot of significance on these 10 days. يعني والفجر وليال العشر. Allah gave an oath by them. When Allah gives an oath by something, it's very important. The 10 days. By the 10 days, and those are the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Okay, let us finish real quick. Come on.
You didn't tell us on the 8th of the Hijjah, do we do ihram for Hajj?
Yes, I said ihram.
So it's just like, it doesn't matter. You're there and you just do the ihram. There's
you take your street clothes off, of course. If you take a bath like you did before, you put your ihram on, and you head to Mina. You head to Mina. Mina, you don't do nothing. You sit there and you pray to Allah. You sit in your tent and you pray and make dua, read Quran, do ibadah, lot of dua, istighfar. And you pray the Dhuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, the Isha. All four of these prayers there. You spend the night there. The morning of the ninth day is, what is it? The ninth day is Arafah. After Fajr, you had from Mina to Arafat. Yeah, you skip Muzdalifah. Well, you got to go through Muzdalifah, but you skip it. And by the way, when you go and walk, if you guys are going to walk, actually, I don't think they don't let people from America walk. They take them in cars and look. It's not that far. It's approximately, I used to walk from Mina to Mecca, maybe take me 20 minutes or less, especially now they have tunnels. I remember when the last Hajj I did, I walked 3 times from Mina to Mecca in 1 day. It's very easy. They have the roads paved. They have a tunnel that goes right in the middle of Mecca. Instead of having going around the mountain, you go right in the middle of the mountain. The ninth day, you have to Arafat. This is the core of your Hajj. This is it. This is when the day when Allah brags to the angels. This is the day that the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. Why did he say that? Hajj is a lot of things. We've been talking about Hajj for half an hour now. But Hajj is Arafah, I mean, this is the core. This is the gist of it. You miss this day, you don't got no Hajj. Other things you miss, you can compensate one way. You miss this day, you don't have it. This is the day where Allah says, the angels, look at my worshippers. They come to me, some of them are dirty, you know, because you're sweating, you got dirt on you. They come from all walks and norms of life. You are my witnesses that I forgive them. You are my witnesses that they've been forgiven. So this is the day you go to Arafat, over here, and you spend in Arafat the entire day until Maghrib. You cannot leave before Maghrib. You leave before Maghrib, you'll invalidate your Hajj. There's a masjid in Arafat, Namira. Let me tell you. I think they'll put you in Arafat. This day you have to be in Arafat. In Arafat, there's a big masjid here. Half, one-fourth of it is outside the boundaries of Arafat. When I tell you these areas here, don't go to Mina, and this is the border of Mina, and then they put you over here. Don't be stupid. You ruin your Hajj like that. A lot of people, this happens to them. I've seen it a lot happen. You know, the guys who take you, they think, you know, oh, what the heck, these guys don't know how to read the signs or they don't know the area. No, you got to be aware of this. You have to know aware of this. You're not excused for ignorance. Muna is a big area. Now, if you tell me Muna is jam-packed, there's no room for you, I tell you, okay, we follow along over here. But Muna is not jam-packed. You go in Mina and you better make sure you're in the boundaries of Mina. There's signs, there's huge signs. Pay attention to them. With all the tents and all the people walking, you probably wouldn't pay attention. But you got to look at them. It'll tell you, this side would be Mina. You pass it on the other side, that's not Mina. The same, you got to watch out for Arafat. Arafat has in it Jabal al-Rahma, the mountain of Rahma. It has also in it a masjid, Masjid Namira. The Prophet ﷺ went in this area. Look how delicate the Hajj is. In this area, he prayed the Zuhr and the Asr. After he prayed the Zuhr and the Asr, in this area, out of Arafat, he went in Arafat. This is Sunnah only. So if you are going Arafat, you pray the Zuhr and the Asr, Maghrib, Isha, no problem. But if you do want to do the Sunnah, and you pray the Zuhr and the Asr right before over here, you better make sure you get inside Arafat from after Asr until Maghrib. Yes. Yes, in Arafat, yes you do. Zuhr and Asr together, Maghrib and Isha together as well. But make sure, you gotta make sure, this is, you lose it, you lose your Hajj. You make sure in Arafat. Do you have to go on top of the mountain? The mountain has absolutely no significance to it at all. People go there and get killed on top of that mountain, and they cross themselves on top of that mountain. It has no significance at all. However, if you want the Sunnah, you go where the mountain is. You see the mountain in front of you, and the Qibla is that way. Because the mountain, you could get it from a lot of angles. The best way is that the mountain and the Qibla are in front of you. And you make dua in that direction. That's how the Prophet ﷺ did that. You stay in Arafat the whole day, making dua. That's the day you make the dua. That's the day that your dua that you make, inshallah, is going to be answered. Go ahead, Latif, I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, you go back to that point where you said you're going to make your Zuhr and Asr in the masjid outside of Arafat, and then go in there right after Asr time? Go into Arafat after Asr time?
You go to Arafat. Arafat has a huge masjid. Masjid Namira, it's called. The front part of it, actually you're going to see signs. It'll tell you this is Namira, this is outside Arafat, and tell you Arafat is over here. So what I used to do, because it had air conditioning, I used to go over there, pray with Zuhr and Asr, and take a few steps back to the roads behind it, and you're in Arafat. The masjid, the way they built it, portion of it is in Namira, and portion of it is in Arafat. If you stay in this area, for the whole day, which some people do, you don't got a Hajj. You got to make another Hajj. You pray the Zuhr and the Asr here, and then you walk back. If you want to stay in the masjid, you stay, walk back. The signs are going to tell you, this is Arafat, this is not Arafat. So you pray over here. What happens, if you want, you leave the masjid, which is probably better, especially now it's not that hot, in this whole area over here. All this area, you stand anywhere you want, anywhere your tent is, anywhere your area is, just make sure you're in Arafat. Ask the officers there. The officers are very helpful, and they're very, very much tell you. They teach them the geographic location. They'll tell you exactly. The police officers there, this is Arafah and this is not Arafah. Okay. After Maghrib, this is one of the dua, or we'll get to that, inshallah. لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The main dua for Arafah. That's the main dua for Arafah. After you do Arafah, Maghrib time, as soon as it's Maghrib time, you depart from Arafat to Muzdalifah, the area we skipped here. And this area is in the Quran. Allah said in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. Remember Allah عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. This is the area between Arafat and Muzdalifah. You don't pray the Maghrib in Arafat. It's time to pray the Maghrib. Don't pray the Maghrib in Arafat. Are you with us, guys? You sure? What's the problem? Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. If you're, I don't want no one to be lost, especially the ones going to Hajj. You go from Arafat to Muzdalifah. You make dhikr in Muzdalifah. It's Maghrib time. You don't pray the Maghrib in Arafat. Look at the Sunnah. As soon as it's Maghrib, you don't go before. If you go a little bit tiny before Maghrib, you invalidated your Hajj. You wait till you're sure, 100%, it's Maghrib, then you leave. If they want, if you're in a group, and they decide to leave 2 minutes before Maghrib, don't go with them. Don't go with them. Rebel against them better than having to come back and do another Hajj again. Because some of them say, you know, because look, this is a small area. You've got 2-3 million people over here. I remember, wallahi, the first time I did Hajj, what me and my mother and my sisters were almost going to get killed right here. Because everyone is in a line, and they're waiting for the Maghrib to go all in one time. And when they go all, you got 3 million people all in one time going, and the people were going to crush us. Until some people, you know, surrounded us and helped us out to move to the side. So you got 3 million people leaving in one time. Some wise people, you know, the ones that are there for to make the money, say, hey, let's go a few minutes before we get put in Muzdalifah, and there's no one there. And it's true, but you validated your hajj. Go there when everyone lives there, and you're probably going to have a hard time finding a spot in Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah, you're not going to find no tents. It's the area between Arafat and Muna. When you get to Muzdalifah, before you rest, you pray the Maghrib and the Isha. And then you make dhikr and dua, and you start collecting your stones for the shaitan, the stone of the shaitan. How big are they? About this big. Not that big. That's too big. About that big. You know, just about that big. Do they have to be from Muzdalifah for the stones?
Yes.
No.
No?
No. Anywhere. Sorry? Yeah, some people get, you know, some people get depressed. They take, you know, because you got to get, for the first day, you need 7. The second day, you need 21. The next day, you need 21. And you have the choice of staying the third day. 21 more stones. So you need 40, 20, 40, 47, 48, 49. You need 49 stones. Sometimes people, they lose a couple, and I see them, they get depressed. Oh man, I got to walk all the way back to Muzdalifah. No, wherever you're at, as long as they're not, don't reuse them. You know, you go over there where there's going to be plenty, don't go and pick out of those and say, oh, I got a whole bunch over there. You know, go to Mina and pick out from Mina. Okay. No, you have the choice. These, I was saying, the first day you do 7. The next day you do 21. The next day you do 21. You have the option of leaving that day, or you have to stay the next day, then it adds to what? With that? 90, 20, 40, 60, 70. Okay. After Muzdalifah, you pray the Maghrib, the Isha, you spend the night there, you collect the stones with you, and you head from Muzdalifah back where you came from. This is your stationary, Mina. You head back to Mina. When you head back to Mina, the first thing you do is you stone the devil. Yes.
You know, I was going to ask you, Subhanallah, did we have the opportunity to go back to Muzdalifah to get stones speaking fine?
No, don't do that. That's taken the Hajj out of context. Don't do that. You're putting yourself through things that you don't need to. Go anywhere, out of Muna, you know, there's the area where you stone. Go to the side there, there's a desert, pick out the stones. That's all.
You can pick up any stones from there.
Anywhere. Okay. So you're in Muzdalifah now, you go back to Mina. The first thing you do is you stone the devil. The devils, we got 3 areas where Ibrahim alayhi salam stoned the devils. 1, 2, 3. This is Mecca here. This is Arafat here. Okay, now wise guys going to Hajj. You got 3 over here. We only stone 1 the first day. Which one? Okay, which one of these is it?
The closest one to Mecca.
Okay, this one right here. That's good. That's good, mashallah. You stone this one only. Look how detailed the Hajj. We got 3. Don't go around stoning all 3 of them. You go over here and you stone only this one. You go there and you go and walk near the area you stone, and you take it and make sure, you know, when I used to go and my father used to go, they used to stone us, you know, because if you go up in the front, you're going to get your head all knocked out with stones from people behind. People over there, you know, throwing stones from distances. Try to go as close as you can and you throw it. Okay, there's a pole in the middle. There's a pole in the middle. Do you throw it in the pond or on the pole? Where's the devil?
So long it goes in, throw it at the pole, you aim at it, so long
it. If I throw it at the pole and it bounces back.
It's
seriously, you're going to find this. You're going to be asking Chef. But and if you have any questions, there's tents over there for Hayat al-Amr. Make sure the scholarly tents, not bombs, you know, as given fatwas. There's tents, especially for Riyas al-Amma. You go there, they have all kind of languages that you want. If you have something, you go and ask them. When you go there, you can't, there's a pole, people think that's the devil. You're not stoning even the devil. There's no devil there. You're just, it's a ritual that we're doing to remember that which Ibrahim alayhi salam did. There's a pole in the middle. If you throw that pole and it bounces back, then you didn't do it right. You have to put it in the pond. If you put it in that little pond there's a pond. If it goes there, then it falls out because sometimes, you know, by the third day, it's full of stones. If it, you know, rolls down, then that's okay. But you got to make sure it goes in the pond. Your aim is it goes in the pond. And you should advance as much as you can. If you have elderly, Qais, you're taking your mother, and others who are taking their family, inshallah, you go and come back in safety. If she's older or weak young boy, you can give the right, you know, your mother tell you, Qais, you go and do this for me. You know, and she stays at home, and you do it. First of all, you go there, you throw Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 7 times, and then you start for your moms. This is the first day. After you're done doing that, you go and you sacrifice. You gotta sacrifice. 7 people can go on a camel or a cow, or 1 person per sheep or goat. Or there's some tickets they buy there where they send it out of the country. I really don't know about that, but the scholars there gave a fatwa that that's permissible. I would really personally think that you should sacrifice there yourself. If you can, that's better. Yes.
2 questions. In regards to the sacrifice, the brother said that in Mina it is very difficult to do it. So you can go to Mecca and do it. He said, I can make that possible. Maybe you guys can go and do it. It takes a whole day to get in line to do it.
Yes, you could do it in Mecca.
In Mecca, is it permissible?
Yes.
Second question, in regards to sacrifice, can you do Hajj and Ifada or you're shaving the head, either one ahead of each other?
I'll tell you them. Let me get to that. The first thing we said, you stone. The second thing, you cut your hair if you want. Now you shave it. Now it's time to shave it.
So before you sacrifice or after or what?
I'm going to tell you the order later on. First thing, stone. Second thing, you trim. You could trim, but now we said it's best to shave. Like Adel. You know, more than Adel by using the razor. Okay, then you sacrifice. Third one, you sacrifice. The fourth one, you got to do tawaf. This is probably the hardest day that you'll be doing things. First one, what is it, guys?
Sacrifice.
No.
Oh, I mean, stone, of course.
Second one, shave or trim the head.
You slaughter first or shave first?
Third one, slaughter. Fourth one, tawaf. Okay, we got these 4 things you gotta do on this day. What day is this now?
This is the first day. This is still 9th day.
You wasted your 9th day over there in Arafat, buddy. This is the 10th day. This is the Eid. Remember? Look at Latif. Look at. Focus with me.
After you pray Maghrib and Isha at Mina, or no, after you pray Maghrib and Isha at Mina,
and you spend the night there?
Spend the night, okay, next day.
Well, what are you
going to
do?
I'm just going to stone the
devil
the same night.
you go here, you spend the Maghrib in the Isha, you spend the night there, and the morning after that, after Fajr, you make a long dua. The Prophet made a long dua. Then you walk directly, stone this devil, trimmed his hair or shaved it, slaughtered, and made tawaf. This order is the order the Prophet ﷺ did it in. And he was asked, some people came to him, they said, O Prophet of Allah, we did tawaf before we shaved. He said, it's okay. He said, someone came to him and said, we slaughtered before we shaved. Someone said, he said, it's okay. And then to the point, the end point of it, the Prophet of Allah, the Sahaba said, he never was asked that day about doing something before something except said, that's okay. So this is the order the Prophet ﷺ did it. Any order you do it is fine. Any order you do it is fine. All that. Because sometimes you say, let me stone is better. Let me go sacrifice, it's easier for me. Whatever order that he suits you is better. These are the 4 things. 4 things you do the 10th day. You with us?
Yeah. Question in regards to...
Guys, you with us? You're going to be the sheikh of your hamda.
Your Muzdalifah, the brother was saying, subhanAllah, you know, the crowd gets kind of like, it's really crazy. So he said that for us to leave at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, you could do that. If he wants you to do that, that's fine. But I would say you stay there better.
Can you stay behind without the group?
If you know where they're at in Mina, I would stay behind.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, if you know the area, and you know how to get back there, know what group it is. Because if you ask the soldiers, they'll help you. I would say the guards there. The only time scholars made an exception, you leave at the end, the midnight, is if you have kids, if someone is ill, if there's a problem, then you can leave like that. Okay, this is the 10th day. The 11th day, By the way, I'll tell you some secret. Stoning on the 10th day is going to be fine in this so crowded. Where? What time?
Right.
A little bit after, about an hour, 2-3 hours after Fajr, it's going to be very crowded. If you wait till a little bit after, before Zuhr, you're not going to find no one there. If you go there, why? Because all of them are coming from here, they're heading here. Everyone is going there. So you got a problem there. So if you're wise, and especially if you wait a little bit, wait till a little bit before Zuhr, then you're going to find that it's nearly empty. On the 11th day, when do we stone?
You stone starting with the small one.
When?
When? We have to stone afternoon.
After Zuhr.
After Zuhr or afternoon?
After Zuhr. After Zuhr. You read the book, it means after Zuhr.
The book is so confusing.
Okay. After Zuhr, the 11th day, listen, the 11th day, all you do is one thing. Stone and that's it. And go sleep all day. But I would say make Zuhr.
Latif is looking for food all the time, I'm sure.
11th day, all you do is stone. All you do is stone the 11th day. Listen, all you do the 11th day is stone. You stone, which one of these?
The small one, the middle.
Which one? All three of them.
Right, so starting with the
you
small
start one. Right here. You start right here, then you go to this one, then you go. And listen to how the sunnah is to stone over here. You start over here, you stone 7 times, then you stand right here. If there's room, this is crowded. This is a bridge. This is a bridge, it goes. I've seen tens of people in my life die. They're dead. Wallahi, I can't even count the number of people I've seen. The last time I went to Hajj, I must have seen over 100 people dead there. Elders, because this area becomes so crowded, and you get ignorant people coming from this way. So, you can't start here. So they come over here in masses, and they're going like this, and there's people in masses coming here. And there you see death. If you're not young and healthy, you're going to see death. Real death. But now it's more organized. Now they won't let no one enter from here. They let them, but it's still crowded. So you come in from here. This is Mina. This is Mecca. You start from here. You stone over here 7 times. You stand over here. You make dua. Long dua. The Prophet ﷺ stood for a very long time making dua. Then you stone this one. Then you make dua right here. You face the Kaaba and you make dua. And then, everyone 7 times. Everyone 7 times. That's why we need 21 for number 2. 7 times, 7 times, 7 times. After you stone this one, there's no dua. You keep on going. The 12th day, you stone over here, and then over here, I'm sorry, over here, then you make dua. Over here, you make dua, and you stone. And this is your second day of full. This is the 12th day.
12th day, where do you start?
Same way. The only difference is the 11th day, the 10th day, you only do this one. The 11th day, you do all three. 1, 2, 3. 12th day, 1, 2, 3. If you leave that day, then that's it. You have the choice of leaving the 12th, or you have the choice of staying to the 13th. In the Quran, it says, فَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. You choose to leave on the 12th, you leave. You can't spend the night there till Maghrib and say, I'll leave now. You have to leave before sundown. So you stone these on the 12th, then you head to Mecca. You head to Mecca, and what do you do?
Tawaf
and wada. Or, you know, if you stay there till Maghrib, you must stay till the 13th day. If you stay there till Maghrib, you have to stay till the 13th day. If you leave there before Maghrib, you can go to Mecca and stay in Mecca. Can you stay in Mecca? How long? I want to stay a week in Mecca. Why not?
After you're done with the
Tawaf
Wada,
can I stay in Mecca?
He says no.
Yes, you can stay in Mecca. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The only thing is, I leave Mina and I stay in Mecca. I want to enjoy myself another week. Maybe your group allow you to stay a week. You stay in Mecca a week, however, you must finish your pillar by Tawaf and Wada. The last thing you do is a goodbye, farewell Tawaf around the Kaaba. You do a goodbye, farewell Tawaf around the Kaaba, and after that you can't stay. You can't do Tawaf al-Wada and say, you know, I'll stay another couple of days. I want to finish off early. No, you do Tawaf al-Wada And that's the last thing you do. That's the last thing you do. Yeah, but that you could stay in Mecca as long as you want.
After you do the wada, you can stay still?
After tawaf al wada, if you stay, you got to do another one.
Oh, another
that's got to be the last. If he tells you, be in the bus, 9 o'clock. You do tawaf al wada, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. The last thing you do, and you leave immediately. You don't stay there and you say, you know, I'll pray a couple more days. Yes.
We go back to the 12th day. When we stone 7-7, is there an order for the dua? Is it the same as 11th day?
Same day, exactly. 11 and 12 and 13, if you stay, are identical the same. All you do is make dua and ask Allah for forgiveness. Yes.
Some technical questions, sir. In regards to the salah, you said.
And that's your hajj, by the way.
Okay. In regards to your salah, do we make we can make witr? We make witr like regular witr for Isha.
For what?
Sunnah of the salah. Do we need to make sunnah or be masaf?
No, the Prophet ﷺ did not make sunnah. In the qasr? No sunnah.
What about witr?
Yes, witr, yes. Okay. Witr is an exception. You don't have to, but you should. Yes.
And another question I have in regards to when you fly out of here, like for example, technically, so tomorrow the flight leaves, so we have Maghrib and Isha. So I'm making intention of traveling from my home, so when I get to the airport, I can pray my...
An airport here?
Yes.
I think you should wait to leave, because the airport is pretty close.
So
wait to leave.
The plane takes off, that pray Maghrib and Isha, 2 and 2, right?
Yes.
And then after...
Two and three. I'm for three and two, I'm sorry.
Two. Yes. When you get to, for example, when the flight takes off, so that time in Amsterdam or Frankfurt is going to be ahead of us, the Fajr, the brother told me to leave the window open, it was outside, the sun is there.
I would ask the pilots, you know, they would know. They usually know, and they know what you're talking about. What you do is calculate. You know, you left here, Maghrib and Isha, you know, after maybe Maghrib and Isha, 8 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 10, 12 more hours, Fajr. That's how you calculate it. You know what I'm saying?
If you're already there in that time.
If you're there, if you're in the airplane, let's assume you're in the airplane for 10, 12 or more hours, you pray the Maghrib and the Isha.
Right.
You don't know, you're in the sky. You don't know if it's Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, whatever. You add another,
the time for me.
The timing, the general timing. When you get to a country, you follow that country itself. Okay, let me tell you some things. First of all, the Hajjaj got questions. Are we going to call you guys Hajjaj when you come back?
We're going to go to your house, inshallah.
Huh?
You're going to teach us the dua we're going to use, okay?
We're going to call you guys Hajjaj when you come back?
Whatever you want to call us, it doesn't matter. As soon as we get to inshallah.
It shouldn't call people Hajjaj because that's not an appropriate term. Why don't you guys call me Al-Musalli Ahmed? I prefer that name. Or Muzakki Ahmed.
What about Harami Ahmed?
Okay. Okay, listen to some of the mistakes. Some of the mistakes, popular mistakes done in Hajj, so you won't fall in them. Listen to this. The first one is you don't do ihram. Some people don't do ihram on the area you're supposed to. Like some, they're in the airplane and they say, do ihram now. They say, no, we'll wait until we land and then we'll do ihram. Your hajj is not appropriate like that. When you got those boundaries that we talked about outside the zone, you have to make ihram from those from outside. Some of them say, oh, you know, we're in the airplane. I don't want to go in the bathroom and get dressed. No. They tell you this is the area, you got to get up and put your ihram clothes on, make your knee an intention, and do your ihram.
Can you put it on before or not?
Yeah, you can put it on before. You can put it on before, but it's sunnah to do it right near the spot. But when you put it on before, you don't make your intention till you get there. You could put it on, you know, you leave the house an hour early, or 2 hours, or 5 hours early. You put your clothes on, the ihram clothes, but you don't make your intention until you get to that area. You have to wait to that area to make your intention. Okay, a lot of people don't do the ramil. What's the ramil? What did we say the ramil is?
Running.
Okay. A lot of people rush and push other people to get to the black stone. That's doing more harm than good. You shouldn't do that. We said you kiss it if you can, if it's not going to cause other people harm. Women should stay away from harassing men, you know, and getting mingling with them and pushing and shoving with them. It's better for them to touch it if they can from a distance, if it's not going to mean mingle, or just to point at it rather than go and mingle with the men over there. Is the black stone in itself helpful? in itself?
No.
It's not up. It's like Omar said. What is it?
You don't benefit anything you harm. The Prophet's tradition, he gives it like.
Okay. The four areas of the Kaaba. This is the Kaaba, the four areas. Which are the only ones we touch?
The
Rukn al-Yamani
and the
Hajar al-Aswad. Rukn al-Yamani and Hajar al-Aswad, over here. Just these two. Muawiyah radiallahu an and Muawiyah and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum were walking around the Kaaba. Look how precise it is. They were walking around the Kaaba and Muawiyah kept grabbing every corner radiallahu an. And Ibn Abbas would only touch these two. Touch them, and that's the only two touch. So he said, they talked to each other. They told them, Ibn Abbas said, why are you touching all four corners? He said, all the Kaaba, all four corners shouldn't be abandoned. Meaning we should touch all of them. He said, but the Prophet ﷺ only did these two. He said, in the Prophet ﷺ is a true example. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, you're right. I was mistaken. He admitted his fault and he was right. So you don't go to the Kaaba and you start wiping yourself all over it. The only thing you do in addition to that is the golden door. You see the golden door? That's called Al-Multazam. You go there. The Prophet ﷺ said you stick your chest on the area. You stick your chest on the area and you ask Allah anything you want in the area. That's one of the best places to make dua. Anytime. During, after tawaf, huh? Yeah, if you get through to the people, of course you're going to do that. Yeah, if you get through the crowd, yes.
You have to touch the front of the money every time you go around?
You should. It's sunnah.
What about the other 1,000 people who can't do it?
Well, if you can't, that's no problem. We're talking about the sunnah.
You have to wave to
no.
it?
No, no. A rukn al-Yamani, you don't wave to it. Don't wave to it. If you miss it, if you miss out on touching it, you only touch it. There's no waving. The only waving is for the black stone. Yes.
Every time.
Yeah. Every single time.
So between what is it, the Yemeni and the black stone, you say then you say that dua all the time, every single time.
Every single time when you get here, till you get here. Okay. That's the only thing you say in this area right here. That's the sunnah. Okay. Some people, like I told you, they bring a guy, they pay him, and they're probably going to do this to your group. And he says, Rabbana, and the people, Rabbana, Atina, and the people say, Atina. Like I said, you don't need that. First of all, you have dua that man is not going to know that you need. You got personal things. You got things for the ummah that this guy's not going to do. So you shouldn't do that. Number two, it's harassing people. You know, the Prophet ﷺ seen someone making dua out loud. He told one of them, lower your voices because everyone wants to make dua. And you're going to see it. They are yelling and screaming out dua. Yeah, they will mess you up. Okay, listen up. Listen, let me finish these. Behind the maqam over here. This is the maqam right here. The maqam. You pray behind it. You should pray behind it 2 rak'ahs. If it's crowded, don't go killing people to do that. You should pray right here. Right here, right here. If you cannot get to that area, then anywhere in the haram is fine. The sunnah is to pray behind it. And the sunnah is, a lot of people go there and they enjoy themselves and they start praying and praying and praying. Pray too and get out of there. Give someone else a chance to pray over there. If it's too crowded, anywhere in the haram is sufficient. Okay, the other main one I want to reemphasize, don't leave the Arafat before Maghrib. Don't leave Arafat before Maghrib, a minute before Maghrib if you know it. And one of the unique things about the stoning is you pick a stone like the one I drew over here, a little tiny one. Little tiny stone. You're going to find some people there with shoes and with big stones like this. You know, and you son of a this and that, you did. One time I was there and they said, you son of this and that, you made my daughter get divorced and it's all your fault. She's talking to the devil. She's talking to the devil. And like I said, there's no devil there. It's only with all the significance of Ibrahim alayhi salam and what he did and hold that memory. Last thing and final thing, some people leave the tawaf after they do tawaf al-wada', they leave with their chest to the Kaaba. They think it's a respectable thing. You know, the Kaaba's there and they walk like, yeah, you're going to see this. They walk like that. That's not respect, that's an innovation. when you're done, walk and turn your back and just go out of the door. There's no problem with that. That's not disrespecting. They did that to the Prophet ﷺ. It's not disrespect. People think now it's disrespect, but it's not disrespect. We don't innovate in that. And that's what we have about Hajj. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ